Hello, my name is Reverend Seth Nelson, and I am the pastor of Faith Lutheran Church in Ronan, Montana. Join in weekly to hear the good news of God's love proclaimed over your life. You can follow us on Podbean and iTunes. God bless you this day. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I can hardly think of a more epic way to leave this world than being grabbed by chariots of fire rushing down from the sky and carrying you off to heaven in an instant. Legendary. It is the kind of exit to write songs and books about. It is an event that would be worthy of monuments, parades, tributes, and other honors. It is the kind of end to an earthly walk that would make one's name worthy to be remembered for ages after. It is the high mark of a uniquely righteous man. This is what happened to Elijah, and is the scene from Scripture that he's probably remembered for the best, even still today. He was one of the few guys in the Bible who never died. In the company of only Enoch, Elijah was just whisked away to heaven, being dragged behind a heavenly chariot to live on eternally with God. His transition from this world to the next captured the holy imagination of the ancient Jewish people for centuries. His legend loomed large in the minds of young and old alike. The people believed that he was sure to return one day because the earth needs people who are so holy that God would spare them from death itself. Remembering this high point from Elijah's life and legacy makes it hard to conceive of the scene from our first lesson for today. Elijah had just before this, in chapter 18 of 1 Kings, taken on the prophets of Baal and showed those gathered that theirs was a false god, while Jehovah, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, is the real deal. The only problem with this was that he upset the powers that be in major ways. The prophets of Baal that Elijah had executed, over 400 in all, were beholden to Queen Jezebel, and she in turn threatened to kill Elijah because she was so angry. Being one lone man with the armies of the king and queen after him, Elijah ran away to the wilderness, which in the Middle East would not be like going on a fun trip into Glacier National Park or the Bob Marshall Wilderness. Elijah's flight was to the desert, where he would likely die a painful death from dehydration, heat stroke, and hunger. This is where our reading for today picks up in this whole story. Elijah was alone, out in the desert, under the sole broom tree that he could find. There, by himself, he got real with God. In one of the most depressing scenes from the entire Bible, we hear Elijah praying a suicidal prayer to the Almighty. He wanted to die, and he wanted God to make it happen. This man who had just called down fire from heaven at his will now believed that he was only worthy of death. Now, to be fair, his earthly situation was not looking too good. He had enemies in every direction. At this time in the history of the kingdom of Israel, there were no defenders of the true divine being who had brought them out of Egypt. The people had bailed for Baal, so to speak. Now, all apologies for my pastor pun. I am now a father and a pastor. I fear I will be making terrible jokes for years to come. For Elijah, though, this meant that he was all alone in speaking for God. There was nobody left in the land who would speak up for him, because he was the messenger of the God that they had abandoned. So he despaired at his situation and asked God that he might die, saying, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down and fell asleep, believing that the desert heat and isolation would keep him from ever waking up again. He would no longer be alone, but in the company of those who had died long ago. Elijah was like the few bison who were put up on our national bison range here in the Mission Valley over a century ago to keep them from extinction. He was a dying breed. Like Robinson Crusoe, he was all alone in the proverbial island with no one to save him. like Chief Joseph and his band of Nez Perce, facing resistance from every direction as they sought freedom, Elijah was a prophet who was up against it in every way. With all this on his mind, he lay down with the reasonable expectation that he would never get back up again. Well, things did not turn out as he expected. Instead of greeting the angel of death, Elijah was awoken when a different angel touched him on the shoulder, saying, "Get up and eat." At his head was a stone-baked cake and a jar of water. So he ate and drank, then slept some more. He was awoken by the angel again, told to eat even more to prepare for the long journey ahead, and headed out to Mount Horeb for 40 days and 40 nights. The angel saved him with a cake and a jar of water that appeared out of nowhere. For me, this story has long been both very frustrating and eerily beautiful at the same time. This story is frustrating because it is ultimately Elijah who suffers for being faithful to God. He was obedient and faithful when all of his contemporary Israelites of the time had betrayed the God who had freed and saved them. Yet it was not Queen Jezebel or King Ahab who were driven into the wilderness for their idolatry, nor any other scribe, priest, prophet, or other adherent of this false religion. Elijah suffered for their idolatry, and he suffered for his faithfulness to God. Though we hear of him being miraculously saved in this passage, it is still kind of frustrating that he had to nearly give up his life before he was given the comfort and protection of God. Should God's justice not fall on the wicked and spare the good? A question for the ages. On the other hand, this story is eerily beautiful. Elijah's life stands as a testament to the lost and lonely, telling us that when it feels like we have been abandoned by the Lord, that is not always the case. The Lord comes to those in the wilderness and lets them eat cake, so to speak. Elijah was more isolated and depressed than just about anyone in the whole of Scripture, and it was in that bleak place that he found God. There is immense hope and solidarity for the rest of us who find ourselves in Elijah's shoes from time to time, for we can trust that we are not alone. The prophet has been in that place before, and God has been there too. It really is an eerily beautiful thing. Though Elijah is best remembered for his legendary exit from our world, I submit that his most powerful legacy is not how he left this world in a pain-free way, but how he suffered while he was among us. His most powerful witness is not that he soared with the angels across the sky, but that he cried for death under a desert tree and was restored to life instead. That is the kind of story in which we can all take comfort, no matter which wilderness we find ourselves in. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. I hope that you have enjoyed this week's sermon podcast. If you would like to hear more, read my blog, or get a copy of my book called The Church Unknown, go to www.revsethnelson.com. If you feel called to support our ministry, I invite you to go to our church's website at flcronan.org and click on the Offerings tab. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.